Well, it is a very good morning to you, beloved Eagle FM listeners. Welcome to another episode of Social Time with me, Hileni Inane. I will be your host from now up until the hour of 11 o'clock. So first things first, I would just like to thank Tata Friends for waking up super, super early to keep you guys company from 5 up to now. And you know, usually around this time, you guys just listen to some music and other things. But now Tata Friends has made it a mission to be starting the day for us. So yeah, I won't be starting the day anymore. So welcome to Social Time. And if you're just joining us for the very first time, I'm hoping you will be sticking around to join us every other session after this one. And if you are new to Eagle FM and you are listening from the traditional radio, I would advise you guys to download our Eagle FM app, which is a platform that enables you to listen to all our programmings, listen to all our previous shows as podcasts, and to just keep yourself up to date with all news items and everything related to the Eagle FM media house. You know, technology is technology, right? And I think at the end, by now everyone knows that. And by now everyone knows that traditional radio, traditional frequencies, they fluctuate with the weather. They fluctuate with the seasons also. The rainy season is coming back. And with the rainy season coming back, sometimes, somewhere, somehow, there's always struggles with the frequencies. So it's advisable that you have your Eagle FM app, which you can listen to from your smartphone, or alternatively, you can listen to us directly from our website. You just have to go online and type in eaglefm.com. And there you will have it. It will pop up. All the shows that you may have missed in the past, they will be there at your fingertips, and you can go back and rewind and listen to shows that you may have missed or shows for research purposes. I always say, especially bread and butter issues, especially cultural or Oshiwambo topics, there is a lot and a lot of rich information on them. So, if you're a business that offers services to people, or you offer products, now would be a good time to reach out to our marketing team and just market your services. Because what is a product without a visibility, right? So you can always just call me, Monica, or you can call our office line on 083-888-400, and you can ask for me, Monica, and she can take you through how you can access some of our services, which is alternatively, adverts on a live broadcasting or live streaming of your event. So when I say live streaming and live broadcasting of your event, I mean we come to wherever you are and we live stream your event, we live broadcast your event so that people can participate and listen to your event in real time. They can also participate through, you know, the comment sections on social media, and they can engage you, and you can also give them answers right on the spot. So instead of people not being able to come to your event, or instead of, you know, maybe the location is really, really far and it's not everyone that can make it to the location, or the event is happening during the day and people must no job, and everyone cannot make it today, you can always have the alternative of having us live broadcast your event, and people can listen in real time from wherever they are, their offices, while they are driving, you know, while they are cleaning the house. They can actually just listen to the message you have for them at any time of the day. Alternatively, if you're not signed up for our EV Ledger paper yet, today would be a good time to just send us your name on our WhatsApp number, which is 081-200-4144. 4144, and we will be able to add you to our billing list, and you will receive your e-paper every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. Ampersand must know every Thursday and every Friday, so that you can just keep yourself up to date with whatever is happening in and around the country, especially in regards to economic news and policy making issues. Lastly, do follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, Facebook. And you'll also be able to know and to keep up with our programming schedules, with what we have coming up, all our new shows. And just to make it away to you guys, we have a new show with FNB, Financial Inclusion Literacy, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday between 6 and 7 o'clock, which is the hour you guys usually have. We usually give you the business and economic segment. So for a couple of weeks, we will be giving you the FNB Financial Inclusion Program. And, you know, do stay tuned and learn a thing or two, and just find out what they will be bringing to you. But all marketing things done. Now let's jump into social time. So we come here on social time every Saturday, and we have conversations around issues that affect our everyday lives, around issues that some people are not very comfortable to have, or those issues that, you know, you just don't bring up. They are regarded as taboos, or when you bring them up at your houses, you are regarded as the disrespectful child, even though sometimes you really, really want to know what certain things or what certain outcomes to certain conversations could be if they were actually put on a platter and a conversation was had and the issue was dissected and, you know, we find alternative solutions to some of those issues. So today on Social Time, we will be doing just that, and we will be having our guest joining us very soon. But like you all know here, if you usually listen to Social Times, you all know Social Times is not Social Times until we have opened it with our theme song, which is Billie Eilish with her Ocean Eyes. So I will meet you on the other side of Billie Eilish to introduce to you our conversation for today and to also just dive her right into it. So if you just got to the radio right now, you are not very late. Just grab yourself whatever sort of refreshment you need. It may be a coffee to get through the day, or it could be a hangover something, but I'm not judging you yet. But yeah, let's get into Ocean Eyes.
I've been watching you for some time. Can't stop staring at those ocean eyes. Burning cities and napalm skies. 15 flares inside those ocean eyes. Your ocean.
If you wanna go, I know I made you cry last year when I was on the road. I meant it when I said it, you could always hit my phone. 213-267-9932, girl, you know. I'ma make this ready, ooh. I never will forget you.
Look me in my eyes, tell me you ain't a part of me. No fear, no fear.
Okay, welcome back. And if you're just joining us right now, you are tuned into Social Time with me, Hileni. And we are going to be diving right into our conversation for today. But first and foremost, I am joined by someone in studio that will be helping us understand the conversation of today. And, you know, just speak to us from a different perspective other than my personal, because you guys know that my perspectives and my opinions, they are the wildest. So we need someone else's opinion. We need another outlook on life to just help us have this conversation. So in studio, I am joined by someone, and like we do it here on Social Time, I do not usually introduce my guests because, I want my guests to introduce themselves to you guys in a way that they best see fit to be known, in case you need to reach out to them for anything else in the future, because I'll probably just come on here and tell you guys a name and I wouldn't be doing them justice. So, Tata Paulus, good morning and welcome to Social Times. Introduce yourself to my listeners.
Good morning. And it's a great privilege to be with you this morning. My name is Tate Paulus, or otherwise Pastor Petrus Paulus. I am from a ministry or a movement that is really great, doing great work in this end time, known as the Holiness Revival Movement Worldwide, or Holiness Revival Movement Ministry. Yes, I'm with you this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to have a good conversation with you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for actually agreeing to come in today and doing this conversation with me. So dear listeners, like I said before, we are going to come on here and I will tell you what conversation we are going to have today. And today we are going to have a conversation that I titled as the double standards. And you would wonder why the double standards, and hear me out. Societal norms and religious norms have certain rules to say, or certain expectations of women, and the same expectations are not employed on men. So I've been speaking to people. I talk to people married, divorced, widowed, out of a relationship, raising children alone. And you would come to the realization that a lot of those situations are not treated as the same. You know, a man that has left a divorce and a woman that have left a divorce are not treated the same. A woman that has lost their spouse and a man that has lost their spouse are not treated the same in so many ways. And therefore, I call it double standards, because it's like one person is expected to pick up their lives and just go on living nicely, and the other person is supposed to like remain in that moment of, you know, you don't go anywhere. You honor your late husband. You honor your previous relationship. You cannot move on because the child is still very young, and all those conversations. So today we are just going to look at why some of those expectations exist in society, especially towards women, and why the same expectations are not employed on men. I have nothing against men, guys. I love men with everything in me, but it's just a conversation that needs to be had. So in every society, relationships, marriages, and partnerships are considered central to human connection and stability. Yet when those relationships end, whether through divorce, separation, or the painful loss of a partner, the way men and women are expected to move forward is not treated equally. And too often, cultural and religious norms create a double standard. Men are allowed and even encouraged to remarry or start new relationships without delay, while women are judged harshly for attempting to do the exact same thing. And this is where this conversation come in. And men moving on is often viewed as a sign of strength, a sign of resilience, a sign of being very responsible, a sign of being very responsible. They are praised for restoring their family life, for finding someone to take care of them, and for not staying too long in the past or holding on to the past. So just for their ability to be able to move on as fast, they are praised, and it's strength, it's courage. marriage. It's everything nice. While, if a woman is to decide to do the same thing, I beg to differ, but the society would have something else to do. So society seems to provide them with permission, almost like it's a license to rebuild quickly. But when women try to take similar steps, they are often met with whispers, criticism, and moral judgment. They are told they should remain loyal, that they are disrespecting tradition, or that they are moving on too fast. Sometimes they are even pressured to remain single for years as their virtue, and respectability are tied to staying alone, no matter what their emotional and physical needs are. And I think when it comes to emotional and physical needs, especially in the absence of a partner passing on, a relationship ending, or whatever the case may be, or a divorce, I think both individuals, in my own opinion, I think both individuals deserve a fresh start. And now I come to question, how does society dictate who needs how much time to move forward, and why does the other person not deserve the same amount of grace?
Well, thank you, Hileni. I think what you have said is quite very significant to consider and to really one have to reflect on very well. To my part, I would say that we should go back to the beginnings. You see, why does somebody has to get married, by the way? What's the importance of marriage?
What's the importance of marriage?
Because I think that's a driving force altogether. Because cultures and all the diversities in norms that are existing there that are, should I say, almost complicating life, disadvantaging one and favoring another one, which is what you actually earlier on alluded to as the concept of being a double standard society. Okay, coming from different aspects of views, whether it's from the religious aspect or from the cultural or traditional aspects, we see the double standard notion coming in.
Yes.
But the point I want to drive in is the fact that we must go first to the beginning, because we must know what is the purpose of marriage. Okay. A human being, I should say, is a social being.
Mm-hmm.
So if one loses a spouse, for example, you become a widow, you become a widower.
Yes.
You know, that means a vacuum has been established.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was a widow, you are the woman who's left behind, or a widower, a man you are left behind, the feeling is both the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if you favor the man and allow him to get married as soon as possible, whereas the woman you subject her to certain traditions and some cultural norms and say, no, you must honor your late husband and you must respect the family left behind. So yes. Stay single like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have actually tampered with the aspect that a human being, whether male or female, is a social being.
Mm-hmm.
So that person would be, in essence, be subject to bondage by tradition and culture. Is that going to be a fair?
No, it's not a fair situation, and that is why we are having this conversation today, to question and to just try and establish why the particular double standards exist, and why it's easier for them to be applied to women, but not to men, because there's a quote that says, mm-hmm. when a man loses a wife, he looks for comfort in another home. Mm-hmm. But when a woman loses a husband, she is told her comfort must only be in her memories. So can you imagine? One person is subjected to go out there and physically, fill the void that is left behind and physically fill that vacuum. And the other person is expected to use their imagination to fill that same particular void. So how is it fair? And it just does not go to, that does not show in losses of spouses, also which is divorce, death.
Okay.
It's also in divorces. It's also in just a breakup of a relationship. It's also in parenting. When a woman is single parenting and they bring another man into the child's life, still society looks at you like she's moving on too fast. She's introducing the child to other people. She's putting the child in harm's way. But when a man goes ahead and bring another woman into the house to do the same exact thing, which is care for him as well as the children, then this man is praised. He's emotionally strong. He's, he's able to love himself. He's able to move on. He's able to care for his family. And the woman is criticized for doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. You are right. You see, this issue of double standard, especially lining on the gender aspects, mm-hmm. where men are viewed differently from women.
Yeah.
For example, when they talk about a man going out and ending up having several children outside their matrimony,
mm-hmm.
such kind of a man will be viewed as a player. Okay? Society gives them a better tag, which is actually has its own effect. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they are not looked down so much to say. But if a woman does exactly the same thing, a woman who's married and ending up going into several men and having multiple children with different men,
mm-hmm.
that woman will be viewed promiscuous, will be viewed and tagged very, should I say, with a red card.
Yes, she's a loose woman. She's everything. But a woman that society
Although,
does not want.
The reality is that both of them, they are in the, on the wrong.
Yes. At the end of the day, both are wrong, but one is given grace. So you mentioned that at the beginning, there is the reason, the purpose of marriage. Can you explain to us the purpose of marriage? Because I look at marriages nowadays and I call them marriages of convenience. I have my reasons.
I
have my reasons, but I at this current space in my life, I call them marriages of convenience because I'm not, you know, the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Yes, that is the what the Bible says. But then we come back here and we see what marriages are doing now. And I think we need to go back again and find out what the actual purpose of marriage is. Because for now, it's marriage of convenience. We come, we slay, we do whatever, we eat nice. We say a few things about your dress and then everyone goes back home and you also go to face your new life alone. So take us through the purpose of marriage.
Yes, I think that is the ideal aspect, which I think I'll strongly lean on to the real foundation of it all. Because the way things are now trending is not really the origin or the beginning and the real definition of marriage. Because people come into marriage nowadays with an ill motive. I think that's the reason why marriage are not lasting long nowadays. Okay? You end up getting a flamboyant marriage ceremony. You fly in the helicopters. You are up on the top of the horses. You are on the dunes and you are everywhere.
Yeah.
Just within a month's time, that marriage has collapsed. We hear you are already pulling each other in the courts. So things like that tells us that marriage, something was missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lack of a foundation. You see, Hileni, something we should establish is this fact. When we go back to the marriage as from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that any building that is constructed to last as long, a lasting edifice, all of them, including where we are now, has a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
A marriage without a foundation cannot go far. And the foundation to any long-lasting marriage, I am privileged to attest to you that as of now, this is going to be my 11th year in marriage.
Oh, okay.
So, and it has been flowing because it was established on biblical foundations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A marriage that's going to last long and accomplished and have fulfillment for all the part, for both partners involved, should have a foundation.
Yes.
Should have a foundation. And that foundation is God, who gives the principles and the meaning to marriage. It's not the society that should define marriage for us. Because society came now.
Mm-hmm.
God existed before society came on board.
Yeah.
So he defines marriage for us. He gives us a foundation. If we establish our marriages on biblical foundation, as God has said, I do assure you, such marriages, I know storms do come.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the foundation, like a building cannot collapse regardless of the storm, because of the foundation which is built on, even marriage equally is the same. But you know, nowadays marriage, a small problem just because the woman doesn't agree to the toothpaste color or to the color of the toothbrush and say, no, I think for me, I prefer a pink one. The other one say, no, for me, I think I want a blue one. Just because of that color disagreement, the marriage is already shaken. Somebody will say, no, if that's the case, I think I was not chased from my father's house. I may reconsider to go back home. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Yes. So let us continue. So we need to remember that it's the foundation to marriage that will determine how long it will go. I'll come back to you again.
Okay. You mentioned the foundation, and you also mentioned how quick people are to want to go back home.
Mm.
You know, if we look at the olden days,
yes,
our grandmothers, uh-huh, our parents, mm, there are people who stayed in marriages even when the marriage was over.
Yes.
And they stayed there because society will talk if you left that marriage. Mm-hmm. And some of those marriages, I would love to believe that all marriages are based on a foundation that expects forever. Mm-hmm. Because I always tell people,
true,
I don't think you get into a marriage unless with ulterior motives, and that is mostly for Westerners.
Mm-hmm.
Unless with ulterior motives, you don't get into a marriage hoping it would end tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after all the investments you put in.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you spend your life savings, you build your home, and when the marriage is over, it also means that most of those things that you guys build in marriage are also going to be scattered. They're either going to be divided, or you're going to pull and push each other, fighting for them. And you mentioned that one will say, I'm welcomed back at my father's house. And I remember it's a conversation I've had recently with my family.
Interesting.
And interestingly, it's one thing they said to us. They said, sometimes marriage is marriage. And with them, they have endured certain things that we don't have to endure, because the conversation was to say, to teach us that there are certain things you guys do not have to endure. And I think the conversation started because of a husband that killed the wife or something in that line. So we had this conversation, and then we stared around, and an aunt of mine said, look, guys, if today we send you off to marry, and there's an option of you coming back home, don't be like us. You are welcomed to come back home. So you said there's a foundation. You also mentioned that nowadays marriages are shaken by small things. But sometimes these marriages are also shaken by things that you cannot continue to withstand. Things like violence, things like gender-based violence, and you are being beaten up, and your kids are witnessing all those things. So what then happens in such situations, even though you really wanted it to last a lifetime?
Yes. Although I'll go back still to the aspect of the foundation, but let me first go to what you are mentioning, because this is where also this issue of the double standard is coming in, because of the way society is viewing things and the way they differentiate a man from a woman.
Yes.
Because it is quite painful, I think you attest to this, what's happening in our country. We are losing lives. A husband who killed a wife and killed himself.
Yes.
You would understand that some of these things, somebody cannot jump into such kind of an unexpected
action
just out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
There must be something that triggers until somebody has gone to the extremes.
Yes.
I would say, for example, if there's violence taking place in the marriage between the wife and the husband, if it's coming from the husband part, and the woman, the wife, goes to report it to social workers or to the police, it is strongly encouraged and accepted. Should it be on the opposite, that it is the man who is undergoing unfavorable circumstances in the marriage, for the man to go and present his case to this, people could offer assistance, it will look like a shame.
Yes.
They would not want to entertain her plea. They say, no, you are the man.
In fact, the man does not even want to go there because of what society will say.
What society will say, look at this man, doesn't have a spinal cord.
Mm-hmm.
How can you come and report your wife? But the man is going through unbearable situations.
Yes.
And that's what actually many people don't know. That's what is killing the society. Mm-hmm. And that's what's destroying marriages. You see?
Yes.
And that's why people are committing certain things that we end up closing our mouth and say, no, this man appeared to have been a good man. Very quiet.
seems to be a responsible family man. But see what has happened.
Yes.
And there's sorrow everywhere. It's because this double standard has favored one side and given a disadvantage side. As a result, there's no free flow of seeking solution anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Men are now kept in a cage of shame. We can't go out and seek help and say, please, the things are not okay with me. Before I do anything wrong, can I please get assistance?
Yes.
Because of shame. Shame coming from where? What society will say.
From what society will say. And I think it's why certain things always just end up happening. Mm-hmm. And that was why that conversation happened, because what my aunt said was, people will talk when you come back home. Mm, but if it means you have to come back home alive than in a casket, then please come back home. Like, literally, she sat there and she was like, my kids, if that is the only option, come back home. In Oshiwambo, you give Ongo Bemos. Yes. You give Lobola is okay. She was like, Ongo Beantungeka tuina, we'll make a plan. Ota ishunako. But you have to come back home because we do not want to receive you back in a casket. And, whether you come back in a casket or you come back alive, people are still going to carry the same narrative. People are still going to say things about you. When you come back in a casket, they call women stupid. You should have left. You should have what? You should have what? When you come back alive, they still call you stupid. You should have endured. Where is your endurance level? Our grandmothers, they endured relationships. They endured their marriages. But I'd also like to think of it from the prospect that these people were enduring those particular things because the circumstances then were better for them. It could have been emotionally draining, yes. They had their ups and downs, of course. But in the olden days, it was very unlikely that you had a husband kill the wife.
Yes, it was unlikely.
It was unlikely. And that is,
it was a violent, actually, marriage where maybe the husband is sometimes maybe beating their wife. In fact, during this olden day, although it was, we can't justify it, it was seen as though that's how it's supposed to be. The man must beat the wife, although it is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't make the wife to leave the house and go anywhere. They still kept to what you had mentioned sometimes back when you say marriage had that element of a permanent relationship. Unlike where today now marriage is almost like a contract. So when things are not going on very well, we can terminate it anytime.
Hi, bad guys. Mina, I will leave. I'm going to say this now, but one thing about me is anything but laying your hands on me. That one, we draw the line there.
Oh.
Anything but laying your hands on me.
Oh, that is true.
Because I think it's also the ways in which we were raised up.
Yeah.
I, for one, had never had my father lay his hands on me. So I get very aggressive when someone even just raises their hand on me or you speak to me in a manner that is coming off with a lot of aggression. There are just certain things we don't tolerate. And the change is coming, but I'm just saying, I think I'm the example you just used of ready to leave. Mina, I will leave. If you're going to hit me, I will leave.
It's
come thunder, like come fire, I will leave if it has to come to the beating part. So Pastor Paulus,
yes.
The Bible also speaks about widows and caring for them. But does it limit their right to remarry, or is this a human-made interpretation? Because interestingly, I had a conversation with someone that goes to your church. And fortunately for them, she's not a widow,
okay.
But, she has undergone through separation. Mm-hmm. And, we've had a conversation. I'm not sure what exactly it was about. So I told her, just get another person. Go on and remarry. The kids are also old now. So why are you not going to live your life? Because you are still so young.
Mm.
And for you to tell me that for the rest of your life, that is how you are going to live as someone that just divorced and now it's just you alone. And certain aspects of your life might not be taken care of. Emotional welfare, physical welfare. What's your take on that?
Yes, 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 yes. Huh. I think such kind of happening is not, it is something that should be quite common in society.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where people are, you are married and you end up living as though you're not married.
Yes.
Okay. And different advices may come in. Why don't you move on? Like me still and you.
Move
you
on, guys.
To say, please, why don't you move on with life? Well, biblically, like mm-hmm. as I said, I'll still come with the foundation.
Yes.
You see, God created man first in the order of creation. Man was first created. And man was living life. And he had an occupation,
mm-hmm.
actually. Because that's one of the key things to marriage. Before you get to marriage, ensure that you are responsible enough, you are going to manage it. Because yes. one of the challenges that comes into marriage is the fact that when we are no longer able to manage it, circumstances are weighing us down. But let me go back to what I want to say.
It is you go back to what you want to say, let me just catch you in. When you say be able to manage it, in what context exactly? I don't want to jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
I want you to say it out. To what is your definition of be able to manage the marriage?
Yeah, you are bringing in somebody into your life who's going to become your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Are you capable to go and take care of her?
Okay.
Will you meet her day-to-day needs? Will you provide bread on the table? Because okay. we don't expect you are getting married today, and then after that you want to go to your parents to go and borrow. We don't have sugar in the house. We don't have bread to eat. Please supply us. Mm-hmm. The reason why you are getting married should be an indicator that you are old enough to stand alone and take care of somebody,
mm-hmm.
okay, whom you went and collected from their father's house.
Guys, men, please listen. Please listen, guys, especially to the men. Because next time you call me, no, I just want your money while you have come to collect me. I don't want this.
Yeah, you see, we should establish that fact that as the husband, you are responsible to take care of the woman. You know, we should face the truth. Even if your wife is working, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that your responsibility has been alleviated. You are still responsible. Okay, but let me go back. So now, as God established, say, it's not good for a man to be alone. He gave that provision, say, I will make a helpmeet for him.
Yes.
That was the genesis of marriage. And he said, when that was eventually accomplished, he said, for this purpose, for which purpose? The purpose of union. He says, shall a man who become the husband and the woman who becomes now the wife leave their father, okay? And they will cleave to one to another.
Mm-hmm.
They shall no longer be two, but one.
Yes.
Okay. And that is a permanent union. So I want to establish that aspect to build on what I'm going to say.
Yes.
On what you, at least the conversation you had with your colleague, okay? On the fact that you are married, why can't you go on? So when God did that, and that's the unchanging biblical standard, because a time came in the Bible, we are told in Matthew chapter 19, the issue of divorce and remarriage was being discussed. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, it was brought to Jesus and said, Jesus, Moses in the law had actually advised, if you feel you are tired with this woman,
mm-hmm.
you feel that, no, I think I can't continue with her anymore. Moses gave allowance, provide a bill of divorce, let her go, and you can move on. But Jesus spoke something that what I want to emphasize on. He said, it was not so at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It was not so like that at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He says, the original plan of God, when he made them man and a woman, and to bring them together, he said, nothing should separate them. That simply means God did not give allowance for divorce. I hope you are getting me, Mr. Eleni.
I'm getting
divorce.
Yes.
But you may want to say, what about if things become violent and difficult? Yes, then we can talk about it in with another word which is not equivalent to divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be careful with words now. So there's a word that is not equivalent to divorce. God did not make provision for divorce in his original plan for marriage and in his standard for marriage, as long as that marriage is following biblical principles,
mm-hmm.
for which most of the legislation, including the Western legislations, are established based on biblical principles.
Yes.
Although now modernized society is trying to simplify things according to how we want it to meet our interests. But unchanging biblical principle established the fact that the word divorce on its own was not actually included in the original plan. And that's how it ought to be. If we had that, we would not think about me going to my father's house because of there's no sugar in the house. You as a woman, because the man maybe didn't wake up very well that morning, he spoke a word that was not sinking very well. You said, no, I think something is not balancing here. I may reconsider this union. Yeah. No, he didn't give that allowance. So we need to establish it somewhere on one side. And then when we come into other problems, then we say, how do we handle that? And I want to throw you a word that you may need to reflect on later on. It's the word counseling. I would say that many of these challenges we are facing today, the absence of counseling, number two, is the kind of counseling we are actually getting. Maybe you can come back to that later on if you don't forget. Mm-hmm. Let me pause here for now.
Perfect. You said the Bible did not make provision for a divorce, but it made provision for something else in case things are going bad. What is the something else that provision is made for? And how do we get to that something else?
Yes. So the provision that we see, okay, that the Bible make allowance of is not divorce, as I've already established that fact. That's very standing. Okay. Meaning that marriage is permanent until death do you
apart.
And I think that's what normally they pronounce.
Until death do we apart.
The priest, officiating minister, will always pronounce, you are one until death do you apart. But after that, we forget about that statement. Death didn't do your part. You want to separate the oneness. So what actually I would say, maybe we need to give her a chance also to come in. Okay. What I would actually say is the fact that from the biblical point of view, if the relationship becomes so sour and bitter that at the interim, we are not finding a solution, it will be ideal with proper consideration on both facts to separate them for that time to look for mitigations. Not to break, but separate for that time to look for mitigation measures. Okay? So that we don't say these people are no longer married. For people, because the point is, when you talk about divorce, you have to go into the court of law for that to be established. But separation, you don't need that. You just need to say that, no, there's something happening like this. You must have some people you can consult. If you belong to maybe a Christian society, maybe you talk to your parent, to your pastor and the leaders. They say, this is what's happening. And they'll look at the situation and make some fair judgment. Say, truly, there's evidence that if you stay together like this, things may end up undesirable. Mm-hmm. So mitigation should be sought. But for now, this one, can you stay here under strict observation and assistance? The other one, until that atmosphere has been brought into wellness, then marriage can continue. So in that case, marriage hasn't been broken. You understand? Because the concept of divorce is what brings in the issue of now freedom to go and marry again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I think I want to highlight the cultural and religious influences.
Yeah.
Especially I heard she mentioned something like a widow. Widowhood. I feel like in many societies, or let me say religious doctrines and cultural norms, place higher moral expectations on women, and especially regarding sexuality, loyalty, and emotional behaviors. Let me say, for instance, widowhood. It's in some cultures, they said widows are expected maybe to mourn for extended of periods. So that means there is some cultures whereby, let me say, if the husband happens to pass on, so that means that I'm not allowed to remarry again or something.
No, that is not correct, biblically speaking. Thank you so much for that contribution. You see, that's why I, being a preacher of the word of God, I stand by the words of Jesus. He said, by the tradition of men, we make God's word to be of no value.
Yeah.
You see, if somebody as a woman, she is a widow, there's no biblical principle to say, no, you must wait for 4 years, 7 years, or how many years until you have grown up to this particular age
mm-hmm.
in order for you to remarry. No, there's nothing like that. So long as the widow is of good age enough and at a certain level to feel, she still have that feeling and the desire to get married.
Mm-hmm.
She should have the license and the freedom, and society should actually motivate. Why should the woman be burning and then in the secret try to look for society secretly to satisfy herself to prevent societally accusations? See?
Yes.
You see, if you get remarried, they say, no, look at this woman. The mm-hmm. husband just died a year ago. Mm-hmm. She's already married already.
Mm-hmm.
So to prevent that, she'll try to pretend and say, no, it's okay, I'll not get married. But she feels the vacuum and she may try to satisfy that vacuum secretly in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Such kind of a practice is more worse. So biblically, the woman or even the man, whoever is left behind, should move on according to God's word. Get married.
Okay. I want to go back to the separation aspect that you spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say if separation prolongs for a very long time, probably longer than a year, longer than 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and as human beings, mm-hmm. their physical needs, their emotional needs, and their needs such as sexual desires.
Absolutely.
And in this case, these two people are separated.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they find the balance of getting their physical and emotional needs met
mm-hmm.
and being separated from this particular person?
You see, with current reformations in terms of laws pertaining to marriages, but specifically to divorce,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the reasons why they are motivating for simplified marriage divorce procedures
mm-hmm.
is those some of those reasons you are mentioning. Because, for example, they would say, I'm not saying that's biblical, because we still have to understand the biblical concept of marriage is permanent, not dissolution.
Yes.
But the advocates for dissolution, they would say, say suppose your husband is sentenced for 6 years in prison
mm-hmm.
and you are going to be left behind here. Well, how are you going to satisfy your sexual desires and other emotional needs and so forth?
Yes.
They would say that ideally it's good to just to dissolve that marriage, so that if when he's in prison there, whether it's for 5 years, 6 years, you are also free to get married and move on. That is man's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Man's perspective. You see, the importance, the concept of separation comes in the fact that you are one. A single entity cannot be broken.
Mm-hmm.
So we can only look for solution. Our desire and what those who are trying to facilitate the reunion should look at, not it be prolonged, they should face the situation as urgently as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to the person. Look at where the problem. Maybe it's the man who need to be properly spoken to, advocated to very well, and advised in time. So it doesn't take too long, because we don't expect that to take years.
Mm-hmm.
That would be ideal. It won't be favorable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, but I think divorced men are often portrayed as free and available.
Mm.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
After the divorce, so.
Okay, you see, like that.
Yes. Mm. Mm, okay, so this is just a follow-up question to the separation name.
Yeah.
Let's say, for instance, it's Naomi.
Mm.
I'm separated from a partner. And my husband has not been home for the last 2 years, and I am just there. I need things done to my body, but the things are not being done. Mm-hmm. And I come to you as a pastor for advice. What is your advice to me going to be? Are you going to talk me into just being patient and waiting,
mm-hmm.
or what solutions would you give me in such a situation or in such circumstances where the possibility of reconciliation with my husband might not even be a discussion?
Mm. Okay. Wow. That's very interesting. You know, what I would do,
mm-hmm.
there's a word, we call it grace. G-R-A-C-E.
Mm-hmm.
That's grace. The reason why we are having all these many challenges and why sometimes we are not able to solve them is because of the absence of grace in lives. Okay. That word grace speaks to Christ. The seed there represent Christ in the word grace. Although, you know, you might have heard some, maybe you have a friend whose name is Grace,
mm-hmm.
who may not know that there's a seed in that name Grace, which represent Christ. You see, when you have Christ in you, the Bible says Christ in you is the hope of glory. That simply means that if when you enter that marriage, you really entered with a proper foundation, which was God. And God is faithful to his promises. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If you have that, I would talk as a pastor that the situation that happens, the moment you find, like I told you, I've been married for at least now, this is my 11th year in marriage, is the fact that if you find me that my marriage is getting rocky and shaky, the very first thing to run out, come and check if they see in the grace is still present, if Christ is still present. Because whatever behavior I should exhibit in my marriage, Christ should be the moderator. Mm-hmm. So if I am turning out to be unbecoming towards my wife, something must have happened in my relationship with my God.
Yeah.
So if that relationship is affected, it will manifest on the way I will handle my wife.
Mm-hmm.
It will manifest. And the same thing also on her part. If her relationship with God, her Christ relationship is affected, it will also reflect on how she will conduct herself in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, Miss Eleni, to be more frank, is a fact that as a pastor, I would say that you are in this situation, bring in God first, the one who instituted that marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If you bring him first, he will provide a solution. And his provision will always be ideal. His provision will always be not against the permanence of marriage, is to restore marriages.
Mm-hmm.
People are not looking at the word restore.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking at the word dissolve,
yeah, right,
which is not helping. Now, think about it, please. Let's face the fact.
Mm-hmm.
The parents have lived together for this long. They have born children.
Yes.
And then later on to hear there's a divorce taking place. The mature children, the babies may not understand. The mature children, how do they look at it? Mama and daddy no longer living together. I mean, do we really look at the implication of these things?
Mm-hmm.
Do we look at it?
I don't think the implications it has on the children is looked upon.
No, hold on. Not only on the children,
mm-hmm,
but holistically on the children, society,
yeah,
everywhere, culturally. I mean, the way, you know, marriage brings two families together. You understand?
Yeah.
It is not only the two of you who are the main key players here. It is families, I as a man, I have my father's side, I have my mother's side. That means two wings.
Yes.
You as a woman, you have your father's side, your mother's side, two wings. Mm-hmm. So it means these are four wings coming together as a result of this union.
Yeah.
So when you are going to break this, you are scattering virtually four directions. So the implication is more than what people see. So when you walk in town the following day and you stumble from any of the other side, how does things look like, people? How does it look like? You know, the thing of doing things quick, we should just end this because of it, without looking at restoration, but dissolving. So we should be ready to dissolve all these unions that have been, and this connection that have been established for long, like for me now, for 11 years in marriage. So you want to say that for all these many years, so we should be ready to lose everything. The people that you knew, the ones that came in, I think it's just too quite broad something for us to think about here. Society must wake up.
But let's leave it at that for now. So, dear listeners, if you would like to join our conversation in studio, the number is 083-888-401, 083-888-401, and you can join our conversation here in studio. For now, let's quickly take a musical break, and we will be back right after the break to just continue having those conversations and to go on answering some of, you know, the things we would like to educate you about today. So I will leave you with Joe. I wanna know.
Oh, That's amazing how you knock me off my feet. Every time you come around me, I get weak. Oh, yeah. Nobody ever made me feel this way. Oh. You kiss my lips and then you take my breath away. So I wanna know. So I can be
Social time and Eagle FM, you're live.
Yes, thank you, Eleni, and I also want to thank the guests in the studio. Mm-hmm. I have a question actually regarding the conversation about divorce, but I want the view of Pastor Petrus regarding because there is Marriage Act, and in terms of Marriage Act, divorce is allowed in the situation that there is spouses.
Mm-hmm.
They are irreconcilable, you know, conflict. What is his view of that act, and if there is a proposal to not even to amend, to remove that SP, is going to support it or not, or should it be removed from the Namibian Marriage Act? Because it's the same act which allow people to get married, and also the same act also which allow people also in a situation where things are no more liable. Because marriage on its own is a contract. It's a contract. In a situation where the contract is no more, telling its purpose. Maybe he can answer on the line, or I can listen on the radio.
He hung up, so he'll listen to the radio.
Thank you, caller. Very interesting. Yes, you are right. There's the Marriage Act that actually governs marriage issues in the nation, to which I want to come to the word you use. Marriage is a contract.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is a contract. I know when you use the word marriage is a contract, actually it brings in the understanding of all that has to do with contracts. Every contract has terms and conditions, and it can always be terminated when such terms and conditions are no longer liable or applicable.
Yes.
So in that case, that the contract can always end, given that situation demands it should end.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you, dear caller, to plus all the listeners to look at it in another perspective. The biblical perspective of marriage is not a contract. It is a covenant. It's a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Would you allow me to quote from Malachi? Malachi, God said, he hates putting away. So when God says, I hate putting away, and he said, I was a witness in your union, when you were getting married, I was a witness to the wife of your youth. So, and he says, whatever you're doing to ill-treat one another, especially not to ill-treat the wife, and for you to put away, God say, I hated that. That simply means, on the part of God, to him, marriage is not a contract. To the part of God, marriage is a covenant. Covenants are not breakable. That's why you say, till death do part.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a contract, because a contract will elapse before death do part.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm speaking as plain. So a contract can easily elapse before death do part. But a covenant, it's only terminated by death. Okay? Yeah. That means one of the party to the covenant is no longer existent on earth. So as a result, that law is actually invalidated. So that is it. So coming back to the laws that are established, I would strongly emphasize the fact that before you get married, why are you getting married?
Mm-hmm.
And as you are getting married, what is your commitment to it? What's your commitment to it? Are you getting married to say, well, if things are okay, we continue. If things turns out to be really unbecoming, we may need to review the marriage. We must still go back to the beginning, because yes, laws have been put, and I trust that as similar to other laws, they are meant for order and to safeguard lives. But although there is a supreme of the supreme, that's the law of God. That's okay. The supreme of the supreme. So we should still zoom in into that. We should zoom into that. It's just like in cultures, we spoke about traditional cultures here. They have the cultures, they may have the way they look at it, at certain issues, but they will still come back to what does the law of the land speak. And we have to, if things are going to be kind of mitigated through at national levels, it means the law of the country must come in. But I would still say, as much as that is there for law and order, very important, we should also say, what does the supreme of the supreme say? What does God, who is the governor of us all, what does he say?
Okay, I think our caller got his answer there. Let's take the next one. Eagle FM, you're live.
Yes, good morning, my daughter and the pastor and the guest there.
Hi, good morning, Father.
Is this Petrus Paul?
Yes.
Oh, thank you very much for the topic.
Thank you, Tate.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you very much.
It's a privilege hearing from you.
you are correct. It's true that marriage can be dissolved in those circumstances, like perhaps the caller referred to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the pastor's answer is clear there that yes, we actually crafted up those mechanisms to dissolve marriage as a contract, a contractual agreement. But I just mentioned a covenant there that yes, even though we draw up those laws, those registrations, that might be in conflict with the supreme law that you just mentioned there, the God's commandment, the God's, you mentioned about the supreme, the Almighty. So, yes, it's allowed in circumstances, because these are man-made laws, these are man-made now contracts, that, like I said, they can be in conflict with the purpose of God for marriage. It's quite correct there. So, and then I just maybe forgot my point where he mentioned that yes, there are areas where, when you see that the life of a person is in danger, and maybe for the children and things like that. So, but even that one doesn't talk about dissolution of marriage.
Correct, correct.
But it talks about separation. So, and
separation,
I really,
we are looking for a solution.
We are looking for solution. Maybe now people are trying to cause that
reconciliation, yes, restoration and so forth.
Right. And restoration as a mission. So, yeah, because of man's incapable or whatever, there are really these issues, like reanimation about gender-based violence, about, that might also affect children and people. So those ones are really not, when you're looking at it in relation with the natural law, which is God's knows law, so they are not grounds, so to say. Maybe just to safeguard to prevent the violence or whatever that might happen.
Yeah.
Because the grace might run out, So sometimes grace run out, and if you cannot pray,
replenish
like
it. Yeah.
So yes, there are those circumstances. I think the caller actually was referring to some of those grounds that can be acceptable in terms of the registration, whether it's in that act that he quoted. But in terms of what really God has said, because law is what it says, it's not what it ought to be.
Yes, let me just quote you, catch a little bit there. You see, the caller spoke well, because that is the standing law, and I should point it on this juncture that law were formulated with a good purpose. But also we should establish the knowledge behind also matters that actually gave birth to such kind of laws, the knowledge behind. So that's why he used the word as a contract. And so to say that the marriage, if this becomes out of hand, violent and unappealing, there's room for that contract to end. But Kola, as you are there, I really appreciate your great contribution. I want to read this, okay? Just to establish the concept that I brought in, that marriage is not a contract, actually, biblically speaking, speaking, and giving out the concept of God or marriage. It's a covenant. I'll read, it's Malachi chapter 2, for others who are listening, they can also take the same reference. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. Okay? I'll read up to verse 16. For you just to have the feeling of God in this matter. I may not exhaust explanation because of the short time we have here, dear listeners. But yes, outside of this, we can always create an atmosphere of further dialogue. Okay? So Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee, that means between you, and the wife of thy youth. That means you have become old now. You got married during the youthful days. So God has been a witness since then. He says, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. That word treacherously is very strong. Yet is she thy companion? Take note of that word, companion. And the wife of thy covenant. That's the word I've been using. The wife of thy covenant. That means your marriage is a covenant. Verse 15 says, and did not he make one? That means the two. Did they not become one before his sight? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. And wherefore one? Why did you become one? The purpose. That he might seek a godly seed. The fruit of your marriage should become godly. He says, therefore, take heed to your spirit, to your emotions, to your temperament, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Verse 16 says, for the Lord, the God of Israel, that's the God of heaven, says that, which I actually refer to sometimes back, he hateth putting away. What is that? Divorce. He said he hates it. For one covereth violence with his garment, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, he repeats something he said already, take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously, So I think we've gotten a taste of it there.
Yeah, Pastor, I'm very grateful for the thing, and I know as we have been socialized together in the things. For you as a young pastor, and you are there preserving the biblical values and norms and all these things, I'm happy that, yes, you are carrying on the torch. You are doing a great job. And Eleni also did ask a question there, or she posed a concern, that yes, because of the desires, the emotional desires, and you know, this kind of things. These are needs also that need to be met. Yes, it's true, they are there. But you see, there are a lot of testimonies. And maybe, for example, like the mention about the widows and all these things. You know our situation, how we went through all these things.
It's reality.
In some sense, you can still... The grace of God is always sufficient to carry you until you now get to the time that God has purpose for you. But I'm just very grateful because I was also looking at hearing the voice. Is this the voice that the young one that we got?
Okay, Father. Let's give others a chance. Okay, thank you.
God bless you.
Okay, I think those are all interesting insights we are getting there, especially in a world where gender equality is now being championed and everyone is fighting for gender equality across various spheres. So it's very crucial to challenge this outdated mindset I just believe that women deserve the same dignity and freedom to heal, to rebuild, and to find love again, just as men do. So moving on should not be about gender and should not be about gender roles, but more of a readiness thing. It should be more of a personal healing and the right to choose what life looks like after a heartbreak or a loss, because we often speak about moving on. But let's say if I live a relationship of 8 years today. This is now not marriage, just a normal relationship of 8 years today. And after 2-3 weeks, I find someone that, you know, that takes me serious and that wants to start a life with me and so forth. And you guys here, after 2 months, know Heleni is married. They're still going to be, even my own family would not want me to get married. You know, they'll be so hesitant to give me over because they'll be like, you just knew this person for 2 months. Why don't you just hold on and heal over the 7-year relationship that you're coming out of? But a man will leave a woman he has dated for 10 years to marry another one he has met for, he has only known for 6 months. And those are just the double standards we are talking about. But let me quickly just give one last caller a chance, then we can start to wrap up.
Okay.
Eagle FM, you're live.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, you're live.
Okay, thank you so much, Heleni. Such a great conversation, a great topic that you brought out there with your guest. So I have two questions. Now, Pastor Peter, you referred to grace for, no, that would be the second question. The first question would be, let's say, for instance, I'm a married woman, and for some reason, my marriage came to an end, and then my husband went on to remarry and have children. And it's been 10 years now. Are you trying to say that I should just stay like that for the rest of my life? I shouldn't go on and remarry? And also, if you answer that question, I want you to also bear in mind about the fact that I'm also a human being. I have obviously sexual desires that need to be met, and I also desire for companionship. That's the first question. Now, the second question I would like to ask is, you mentioned about grace. Now, for instance, I'm a married woman, and my husband, for some reason, maybe traveled, or for some reason something happened and unfortunately went outside my vote and slept with someone else other than my husband, and I became pregnant. And I came to my husband and told him that, hey, hold on, the truth of the matter is that, okay, this child is not your child. So then, does this grace, since we are talking about double standards, does this grace also apply to my husband to say he must remain in this marriage regardless that I went outside of it and got pregnant, or does that grace only apply to women? Thank you so much.
I love that question so much.
Maybe we should start from the last one.
Okay, thank you so much.
The one that talks about grace.
Yes, I love that one.
What should we really say? You see, as a pastor, that means a servant of God, I should speak for God.
Yeah.
Okay? So, on God's terms, as far as marriage is concerned, divorce is not a ticket. No, sorry, please. The word adultery, for you to go, maybe you as a woman, or even the man, you ended up...
Because it's actually normalized for men. I think that's why she posed the question.
So, if unfaithfulness occurred from whichever side, whether it's from the woman's side or the man's side, that should not be the reason why the marriage should be dissolved. That's from the biblical point of view. Why am I saying like this? Because the scriptures affirm a woman was caught. Now, you see, she asked from the woman's side. And there's an account in the Bible where a woman was actually caught in the very act of adultery. And now, mind you, like the other caller mentioned, made reference to the law. Even at that time, there was also the law. What was the law speaking to? It was saying that, no, Moses has said, if a woman is caught in adultery, she is supposed to be stoned to death. Okay? To be stoned to death. Now, when they brought that case to Jesus, unfortunately for them, you say you caught this woman in the very act. Now, why did you leave the man and bring only the woman alone? That's where double standard comes in again. So you are covering up the man and you are exposing the woman. Whereas you said you found them in the very act. Why couldn't you bring both of them and equally apply the law to them? But nevertheless, The end of the story was that the woman was forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just told, go and say no more. Telling us that unfaithfulness in marriage should not be the passport to dissolve the marriage. We should solve that problem. I know it's a scar. I know it's a scar. It's a wound. We don't desire it to happen. I know. Obviously, you know, the hurt of that betrayal and the kind of, for you to always look at, even, for example, like she mentioned, the caller mentioned that, you know, you become pregnant mm-hmm. and the child is born out of that. That child will always be kind of an indicator of what has happened.
And knowing my Vambo families, they'll give the child a very awkward name.
Yeah. So it will be surely viewed differently by many people. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is this. Following the way of God, we have to accept what has happened. There must be repentance plus reconciliation. Two words must come in. So if we bring in two words, repentance and reconciliation, then the marriage will be able to move forward. But if there's absence of these two words, repentance, reconciliation, surely society will take over and that marriage may not even survive.
Pastor Lucas, Pastor Paulus, guys, I don't know why I'm calling you my father's name so much. Pastor Paulus, I would like to know, from your personal, you might not be comfortable putting that aside for now, but let's put the religion aspect of things aside for a while. And I'm asking this question to you as a man. And it's something a lot of men struggle with in society. And it's something that's normalized towards men to say, when a man goes out and bring a child back to the marriage, it's kind of like normalized. And then if a woman is to do it, this man is not too keen to forgive the woman for that type of betrayal. So as a man, what's your take on that? And I know it has to do with pride and a lot of other factors.
Yeah. You're quite all right. You see, it's quite very, like you say, let me take it on a human perspective.
Yes.
You know, I think there's something that we should also be, just as a normal human being, if I stepped on your toe and I say, I'm sorry, what do you expect from you? And I say, I'm sincerely sorry, I stepped on your toe. Apology. So should we remove certain words from the dictionary?
I think it depends.
Normal life. Normal life. Please, let us face it. Normal life. Do we make apology to have its own context and say it's applicable in certain contexts? But when it comes in the marriage context, there should never be the word apology. I am sorry. I don't know what became of me. And then I don't know. I don't know what happened of me. It has happened.
No,
the milk is spilled on the ground. I'm sincerely very sorry. So is there no room for such kind of?
Of course, there is room for it, but my point is that men are not too keen to forgive such actions.
That's why men, we should all answer. Men, don't you have the capacity?
That is why I'm asking you as a man.
I should have the capacity. If my wife says, I am sorry. Mm. It's just like the way you stepped on somebody's toe. You as a man, you are working maybe in the office. A colleague did something that was not maybe okay. And she says she's sorry, or he says he's sorry. You are a man. You are also a human being. You also have feelings. Be ready to be accommodative and say, yes, it's understandable. It's okay.
But why don't you guys continue? Like, you still want to apologize for the same thing that I warn you, or maybe I was talking about. And then again, you are continuing with the same thing. We need
I think we should revisit what we should go back and break that what Eleni mentioned. This is the issue of pride, actually. The pride in man is what men says, no, I'm like this. There's no way you want to. If we live by that, actually, we cannot have a good society. We should go outside even marriage. Go talk about the normal society of living. If we are not having this a good atmosphere to embrace that, faults can be done. Be ready to forgive, regardless from which side. And we should break away from double standards and say only women should be able to come and kneel down. You as a man, you don't know what to say. I'm sorry, and even to accept that is not going to be a healthy society.
Also, okay, Pastor Paulus.
I would like to ask
Okay, let's not be on the side of women,
sorry, yes, yes,
but we also need to be on the side of men.
True.
So I feel like, okay, let me ask you, as a man or as a father of maybe a son, maybe your own son comes to you and ask, father, my wife cheated on me, or she is cheating on me, and she's even maybe using drugs or even have a baby with another man, and she bought, let me say, even a gun, or maybe threatening the guy every day. And maybe he might have those thoughts. No, I want to end this marriage. So as a father of the son, what will you do, or what are your advices or to your son? What will you do about that?
You know, there's what is called diagnosis before you prescribe a solution. The reason why sometimes we fail to administer proper treatment to any problem is because we didn't find out what was the problem that caused it. Where is the genesis of the problem? I was informed because we try not to be, like you mentioned rightly, we should not only be on the side of the woman, but also on the man.
Yes.
So the one I'm going to give you now is a reality that led to divorce and remarriage, to which as a pastor I don't stand for. Okay? But it happens because why? I was informed by the one who was in the know-how that you as a man, you are married. The person, or somebody, the person, or the people who were concerned were married. And the woman will always be sleeping on with a tight jean on herself. Now, what does that language communicate to the husband? So if you are sleeping like this consistently, that means, so we are just sleeping like what now? Siblings.
Siblings.
We are siblings. If you are always with a tight, short jean all the time and sleeping like this, we are siblings. So, it means we are defeating the purpose for marriage. Okay? Because marriage, like the last caller mentioned, had to fulfill certain desires. So, like this, situation understood maybe continue like that until the marriage has to end. So, in that case, you can see that the woman must have been responsible for that kind of a situation. You get it?
Yeah.
Must be answerable for that kind of a situation. Yeah. We don't say the divorce was a solution, but you could see what was the cause. So the same thing, like you have mentioned, you have asked now, as a father, my son said, no, this is what's happening. My wife has become unfaithful. So I think the way out for me is just to end it. I'll first need to find out what has been happening. What has led for the woman to become unfaithful? Because it's actually very rare, although it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because of people are different. It does happen. But it's supposed to, societally, it's normally rare for the woman to be the one on the unfaithful side. Okay? Mm-hmm. So for that to happen, we need to find out. Maybe you as the man, you are the one who's provoking her to that extent.
Mm-hmm.
You are not fulfilling the role.
Mm-hmm.
As a husband, you are not meeting the demand.
Mm-hmm.
You're not feeling so. I will need to dig out. Would you also know? Maybe you didn't even thought about it. There's some people that go into marriage, but they don't have the capacity to go and meet up the obligation of marriage. As a result, you get into marriage. This man I've gotten married to is just like myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a man and a man together again. So what's happening here?
Okay.
So some of things. So we need to do what? A diagnosis first. So when we give a diagnosis of what is the cause, then we can now give proper mitigation. Because that's why I gave you that word counseling earlier, sometimes.
Back. Yes.
You said there's something missing. It's the counseling aspect, and which kind of counseling? From where do you get it? So that we get a proper solution to the situations.
Okay.
Eagle FM, you're live.
Sorry. Sorry for coming back. Just one thing. The issue of why the cheating in the first place? Why is the cheating in the first place and the unfaithfulness and all these other things? And now we implicate ourselves into situation where we might not have the capacity to hold the grace to sustain us until that time. Because, of course, the needs are there. Be it the social needs, the emotional, whatever needs. Sexual needs are there. But in the first place, why do we then get into an issue where the cheating and the charge, this one, and then even before we bring in the forgiveness. Mm. So the forgiveness should just be when you step on somebody saying, maybe you answered, this one, you attacked, and then, you know. So the issue of the genes and the issue of those things, so they become now problematic to our relationship or marriage or family relationship. But in the first place, why do we engage in that? So true. Thank you very much.
That is true. Eh?
Okay. Before you answer that, Pastor Paulus, I just want to add, I don't quite think you have answered the first question of our female caller.
Yes. I'm mindful about that. I'm mindful about that, yes. So we didn't forget, because she mentioned examples that you were married, maybe for quite a good number of years, and then eventually your husband leaves you, and he's moving on with his normal life. You know, that's the challenging part. Eh? That's where the whole thing is in. He's moving on with his normal life, maybe gets another woman on board. Maybe for him, he remarries and the children are born and he's living. And you are left this side. You are left alone, neglected, abandoned. What must you do now? Do you remarry? What do you say? Well, it has to rally on which principle you are standing on. Okay. If you choose to stand on the principle of God, then on the biblical terms and condition, you still have to remember the concept that though your husband has moved on and remarried, dear listeners, according to God, that remarriage is not marriage in God's sight. I don't know if Miss Lenny are getting what I'm saying now. It's not marriage. The first wife is still your wife, because that was the concept of till death do you part. I've heard, in fact, read people who were separated for 38 long good years. I don't know if Kola, you are hearing. 38 long good years. Do I call them good years anymore? Since 38 is a
very long years.
Long years.
Let's take too long.
38 long years. Yet later on, they were made to understand that the fact that you have separated for 38 years and the man has married, that marriage is not acknowledged by God. So the right thing to be done, go back to your first wife. And that was done. And you should understand that in 38 years of not being together, many things have happened. But to meet up with the demand of God's standard, they still have to come back together again. And life continued. So we forget the water that has gone under the bridge for those 38 long years. We reconcile and to go back to the establishment of the first marriage and move forward. So building on that is the same thing. So like I said, it depends on which side you are. If you end up being on the side of God truly, and being on the side of God has another meaning. Okay? Another meaning. The meaning to this is that you should also remember, dear listeners, the fact that life on earth is just a journey. I think that should also form part of my climax as we're moving on towards the end. It's a journey. Marriage is just the part of it that we are enjoying here on earth. But if you believe this, that your life after this continues again with God's understanding, what you do now determines how your life after here be. If you have died without being in harmony with God's perfect plan for marriage and all elements of life, which marriage is one of it, the rest in peace we talk about here on earth, you may actually not go and rest in peace. Okay. Huh? So that's why even what people don't think about is that even your marriage on its own has a role to play, whether you are going to rest in peace or you are not going to rest in peace, actually. It's part of it. So that may call for another conversation. So, but the point is, the matter is that it depends on which side you are. Because if you are really to be on the side of God, the man has moved on and is refusing to acknowledge you for now. Let him go on. God has power to work on him and bring them. If you are on the side of God, things can happen. Okay? And also, God's will can be accomplished in his wisdom to how you can move on. But the point is, you're moving forward. You can move on. Not that you should move on by getting another man as well. By remarrying somewhere, like I think Helene mentioned to me earlier on, the fact that why don't just go remarry? If the man has gone forward already, he's living his life, he's forgotten about you. He's living his own life. He's sleeping and enjoying his life. You are the one who's sorrowing here. Why don't you get remarried? Well, in that context, the fact is, you can move on with life, although that element of the marital benefit has been withdrawn. For cause of that, you can find satisfaction still in many, many ways.
Okay, I would like to ask, because there is that double standards whereby they say if a male, or let me say to male characters who remarry or find new love, as they let me say they are seen as brave or healing, but to females characters who do the same way, maybe portrayed as selfish or cold, or maybe unless there is a noble reason behind their actions. Why do women's are labeled like that when it comes to if you happen to break up or maybe you divorce and then
you see, I don't want to support somehow the wrong view of society to kind of tag men to be brave in the wrong, except in the right, which should be given to both sides. So that we, like you've mentioned, the issue of this double standard. You see, I would fairly say the woman who has become a widow should not be kept in bondage because of the double standard view of society to say, no, your wife, your husband have died, stay this for this number of years. It is injustice. So, and then the man who have lost the wife within just a month, then they say, no, look at this way. Look at it this way. You, as a man, you lost your wife. Within a month's time, we are hearing announcement you are getting married. People will say you are brave. Is that true, really? Some of us will think, no. Are you not responsible for the death of the woman? Why is it just after a month you are getting married? People say this man is very brave and strong. If the woman loses the husband today, and then just next month, the woman gets married, or next year, they say, no, this woman, she's responsible for the death of the husband. This thing has been planned already for long. So that's why after the husband have died, now what's happening? Within a month, she's already getting remarried. They will say, no, women. And that's why they will say, it's not,
it's
they don't
premeditated.
Premeditated. So they will not bring in the element of bravery here. I think the truth must be on both sides. Let it be accepted. Once marriage has ended, one of the spouses pass on, it should be a fair treatment to both. Bravery should be attributed to both. You are courageous. You go to the parents, to those who are concerned, that I've grieved enough for the loss. I think I feel I still have an interest to move forward in getting married again. Okay. That should be encouraged to women. And they should be indeed encouraged. And it's not too ideal, you as a woman. Right. The feelings are there. Desires are there. And you are just seated there. I don't want to get married because I'm afraid what society will say. So society should encourage such kind of a situation to be viewed positively.
Okay. Now, this is from a cultural point of view. So in many, especially our African traditions, widows are expected to mourn for a very long period, sometimes in isolation even, while widowers remarry quickly. Why does culture place this why does culture place this unequal burdens on women? That's now from a cultural perspective and not the biblical perspective, to say.
I think, although not biblical perspective, but biblical, but we cannot avoid it because it's actually the basis of all. The point is this, it's because of the honor put on the man. Men being the head. So when the head is not in place anymore, so the respect, that's where culture comes in. But I would just still on the lighter note say, there must be a balance. There must be a balance. Get to know, I would say, look at the widow. How old is she? Even the Bible says, those who are under, that's biblical now, under the age of 60. That means those people are still
full of life.
Yes, thank you so much. Full of life. So you wouldn't want to subject such people to stay for how many months for those cultural prolonged periods, it will be unideal. And it is very important to, like I said, look at how old is the woman indeed.
Mm-hmm.
If the woman is young, somebody who's just less than 30, she loses the husband, so she should wait for how many years? How many years should she wait? It will be incorrect. So I think this need for culture must also look at reality.
Yes.
Reality. Because this is what's happening. Otherwise, we are going to have so many a lot of widows in the society who are quite of a fit for marriage, and they can still play a bigger role. Please mind you, life is going on. There's so much to be accomplished. Two are always better than one.
Mm-hmm.
You are in your 30s, you lost your husband. You still need that complementary role of a husband. So society should encourage. If you say, yes, you have mourned enough now, what is in your heart now? And people should come out there. Family members should also come on board. The mature ones, they say, now, yes, we understand this has happened. You have lost this and this. What is in your heart now? Don't you think you can move on?
Mm-hmm.
I think the point is, the woman may be ashamed to go and instigate that idea. I will tell you from the Bible point of view. Do you allow me to do that? The Bible tells us the case of Ruth. Ruth, she became a widow, quite still young. She lost her husband. Okay? And later on, when the mother-in-law was going back to the land of God's people, she was going back. The mother-in-law was encouraged, no, why don't you go back and just go and to your people and get married again?
Yes.
She was giving her a good advice. Although Ruth had a better understanding, my being with you is better than me going back to my people.
Mm-hmm.
But to cut the long story short, she went with the mother-in-law. They were both widows because the mother-in-law had also lost her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she also is a widow. But would you know later on, the mother-in-law is the one that realized, no, can't I do something for her to get married? That's how Ruth ended up again getting mm-hmm. married.
Okay.
And life went on. That means sometimes the younger ones, the young widows, may not have the strength because of societal view to really go to say, please, I'm thinking about getting married again. Why don't we also be initiative? Encourage them. Now we know you lost your husband. We can see you are still full of life. You are still quite energetic. You can still raise a family again. And sometimes maybe the husband left nobody, like the case of Ruth. There's no child. So can't we come back to our daughter? Don't you think you can still get married? Can society change situation and the elders also encourage and say, don't you think you can get married still again? Move on with life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will help to some extent.
Yes.
But I also feel like the women who move on quickly after their husbands have passed on, I feel like they are lacking some moral characters and also they're disrespecting the memory of their
that is the problem that is why we are having this particular conversation. However soon you move on from a person that has passed on should not be dictated in time frames.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you have the emotional endurance to get over certain circumstances at a faster rate than someone that dwells on it for 10 years.
Exactly.
So I don't think we need to, it needs to be labeled as you moving on within a year is, you lack morality or you do what. Because I believe when you move on and people know you have moved on, then people can honor your decision in moving on. Instead of you going around doing things in secrecy. And sometimes secrecy comes with a lot of complications, eh? Mm-hmm. Now you are doing things in secrecy with other people that want to do things in secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, you find yourself in emotionally unavailable circumstances to people who were just there to pass time alongside you because they know this widow is ashamed of what society will do. So what if I just be there, I take over what I do this and this, and then later on I cannot even speak about those things because people didn't know I'm engaging in the prospect of moving on. So now I cannot come and say, guys, my inheritance, everything has been taken by who, because people will be like, oh, you are seeing someone. So the duration to say women can only move on after when does not make sense. For me, it does not make sense. And that is why we have conversations such as this to drive this narrative. But lastly, before the next person comes in, My last question would be, you spoke on counseling and I wanted to touch on it earlier, but let's just touch on it right now. Counseling. We live in a society where men are praised for so many things. And when you brought up counseling, it reminds me that it's actually men that are against counseling more than women are. Many men don't go for counseling. Many men don't seek for help outside, you know, outside their...
That standard notion is also what's triggering that aspect of why men don't go to look for counsel, because he feels, if I go and seek advice from that person, what view will he or she have on me? Won't I be seen like a coward? Won't I be seen like I'm weak? Such kind of things is what probably makes men to feel uncomfortable to go out there and seek for counseling. But we should establish it. Without counseling, many purposes get failed.
Yes. Pastor Paulus, is there anything at all that you would like to add for us before the end of this particular insightful conversation? I really had a good time, and I think my views on certain things will still remain the same after this, but at least I walk away with a different perspective.
Yeah, I think, dear listeners out there, I think regardless of what society says, and what we have experienced in life, maybe yourself, what you've gone through, I want to leave you with these words. In everything, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. You see, this world is held in the hands of God. So if you plan your life and you move on your life without God, you'll reach a point where you find yourself, you don't know what to do. And that's what has led to many of the painful happenings that have struck our society. Because in many things, people don't remember Jesus. I want to say, even in marriage, remember Jesus, because he's the founder and the author of marriage. Remember him. He is the chief of the chiefest. Remember him. So, I also don't want to forget what she has just mentioned, the fact that the society will look at you if a woman gets married very fast after marriage. That woman lacks morals.
Yeah.
I want to say that society should relook at things very well. If you prolong a person from moving on in life, you are actually worsening the situation, actually prolonging the process of healing. The person who could have moved on in life and forget about the past griefs, you are now prolonging her process of healing, to forget the pain and the sorrow. So the moment you start a new chapter, it helps you to heal more faster. It helps you to heal more faster. So if you keep this person in the bondage and say, no, how about the past memories? But what is going on in her heart? It meant only the memories, the pain, the vacuum, the absence. But once a new chapter is built, it makes us forget the old and at least live a meaningful life. Okay, so it's very important we should remember society. There's more meaning to life. Memories are significant. They will always be there. Yes. But there's more meaning to life. And again, remember Jesus.
He must be the center of the relationship, for the marriage.
Bernadette, anything else you would like to add before I log out?
Yeah.
No, I feel like I'm... Yeah, we are good to go.
Okay. So personally, I believe that the unequal treatment is not something very accidental. I am of the opinion that it is deliberate. And this is deeply rooted in patriarchal interpretations of culture and religion, where women's roles have historically been tied to sacrifice, because that is what most women keep doing. They sacrifice its endurance and its silence. And that is why at the beginning when we had this conversation, I spoke about things our grandmothers stood for, things our mothers stood for, and a certain way of our parents and the people before them, the way they lived and the way we live now. You can see a contrast, you can see a difference, and you look at things. And now we are also at the age of asking questions. So we ask a lot of questions, and we are starting to put things together, and we realize that our parents and their parents were quiet about a lot of things. And that is what kind of, I don't know if I should say saved them in society, but what is what kind of kept them in a society that normalized this particular things to say, woman cannot do this. You cannot marry after a long relationship. You cannot get divorced and go marry. You cannot lose your husband and go remarry. You cannot come from a relationship and start and get into a different relationship while you have kids, because now you are seen as you are confusing the kids by bringing another man into the relationship. And women were just in a position where it was silence or endurance or having to sacrifice their personal happiness. And as a result, many women remained trapped in prolonged grief or social isolation, afraid of the stigma that comes with choosing happiness again. And this is what raised most of the questions that we had today. And it's also just that stigma that keeps you there. And and I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that from a cultural point of view and from a societal point of view, let it be normalized that if your husband has been dead, let the elders come together and tell you, my child, it's okay for you to actually go on and, you know, find yourself another relationship if it's something you want. It doesn't have to be by force, exactly. Of course, but you should be given an option. You should be given an opportunity to choose for yourself, exactly. And to make your own personal decision to say, to say, I either want to stay loyal and connected to the memories of my late husband, or I want to go on and move on and, find a different relationship, perhaps one that would lead to another marriage again. But it shouldn't really be a thing of it being a stigma in society and a thing of women being judged upon it. So dear listeners, that has been our conversation here on Social Time today. It is exactly 8 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock, and that brings us to the very end of Social Times. I will catch you next week, Saturday, same time, same place, same radio frequency. Do continue listening to our radio programming here on Eagle FM, and do have yourselves a lovely, lovely Saturday. Okay, it's still morning. Do have yourselves a lovely Saturday. Bye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Omutia with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She calls a fat and anana, long as she fa, ya, she became what she wanna. E. Moyawa, or Tango got it a money. Anagasifa, Yanamibia, ombitombwa nawa olonjika. Tseithani na omayakuro nilanditomwa iwe yongeshefa yoye okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma onara hetatu imu. Ndatu ndatu heari hamano tano owambi yaaji. Eagle FM.